Alright, good evening everyone. Hi, welcome to Get It. As you settle down, hi, my name is Andy, and I'm really excited to be able to speak to you tonight. Now, I want to start us off with this question. When was the last time you walked into a room and felt like you didn't belong? Right, it feels uncomfortable, right? Not belonging. This is quite a personal question for me because I moved around a lot in my life when I was young, and I've always needed to find a way to fit in, okay? For example, when I was 8 years old, so I was born in Bandar Utama. I'm always jealous of you guys who can say, you can just give a one-word answer for where are you from, right? You've met some new friends today, you might have asked, hey, where are you from? You can just say Johor or Subang, right? But I can never say that, you know. I need to say paragraphs because, as you'll soon see, I consider many places my home and therefore I'm slightly confused. For example, I was born in Bandar Utama, but when I was 8 years old, my family moved to the US and we were there for 3 years. And I came back when I was 12, partly to take my UPSR, okay? And then after that, I went to Penang for secondary school. And then when I was 18, I went to Newcastle in UK for my degree. So most of my life, I had to work to fit in. I still remember that first day in uni. I believe a lot of you are in uni. You know, first day, you're thinking about belonging, right? You think about, hey, maybe I'll hang out with this guy. Okay, that guy's kind of sus. Okay, I'm not going to hang out with him, right? You're making your selections. And I remember my first time walking into my dorm, I was immediately hit with the smell of alcohol because it's UK. Okay, they drink a lot. There's something called alcohol blanket, which is basically the guys would drink all night and they walk out in the cold without a shirt. And they don't feel cold because their body is full with alcohol. Okay, so I remember the first time I was going to my dorm, the lift opened and immediately there were just chairs of guys drinking. And they're like, why don't you join? You know, are you the new guy? I felt shy because, firstly, I can't drink. Secondly, I'm Asian, okay? I was thinking, oh my goodness, is the next 3 years of my life going to be with these alcoholics? So I had to fit in, But when I came back to US, it was especially tough fitting into Malaysia because I look Malaysian, but I cannot speak Mandarin and I cannot speak BM. I really struggled. In fact, like I said, I had to take UPSR, right? And that time, the government was flipping back and forth whether you do math or science in Bahasa Melayu or English. So I remember praying very hard, please be English. Because if it's not English, I'll confirm fail. But anyway, the first few days were really hard. But somehow, I don't know how my parents did it, they managed to get me a personal translator. Yeah, he's a fellow classmate, you know. So the teacher would tell him to sit beside me, and every time the teacher gives instructions, he would translate for me. Okay, his name is Amiru. I remember to this day, right, Amiru is the GOAT. Yeah, so yeah, he really saved my life, okay? But anyway, what happened was, back then in Kebangsaan School, you have this thing called a list, okay? It's basically, I'm not sure if you all believe it, but it's a list where they will put the rank of every single student, your academic results. Scary, right? Like, imagine a class of 80 people. You will know who's number 79 or 80. We all know the names. Okay? Now, I remember the first day my results came back, I got somewhere in the middle, about 40. And my dad saying, hey, why you get 40? Average, huh? But, okay, so if you tend to get bad grades, you get good at, you know, talking about perspective, right? You know, getting see the other side. So I thought about this. I'm pretty proud of it, so I'll just share it. Anyway, it's kind of true. So I told my dad, yes, I got 40, but although I'm last among the Chinese, I'm first among the Malays. Okay? And I wasn't just being racist, it was true. In my school, I was really first among the Malays. Lah. You know, and even after that, Amir was like, saya tak nak tolong kamu. You know? Kamu bukan kawan saya, you know. So it was tough. But anyway, once I managed to feel like I was getting a hold of myself, I felt like I was belonging, I thought maybe I can aim for top three. Right? Top three, I still remember, it was a guy called Nicholas, two Chinese guys, one Indian guy. And they would always play certain games. They were a gang. So I thought, oh, easy lah, you know, I just get close to the gang and then I can get, you know, part of the top three. So long story short, I managed to join them. And at the end of 6 months, because it was time to move to Penang, on my last day, they gave me a note, a goodbye note lah. And it was really sweet. I mean, they wrote each wrote a message for me. But I remember in the car, on my way back, when I examined the note, I saw the words at the back. I'm not sure how I missed it at the start, but it said, "We never liked you." And there were some swear words. But they crossed it out. But juvenile, I can still read it. Okay, so that hurts, right? Not belonging is uncomfortable. In fact, it sucks. So I think tonight we all want to belong, right? But as we try to belong, are we ever really home? Now, I know those of you who are here visiting today, I know you have a different opinion of God than me and your Christian friend that brought you here, right? But I believe what we have in common is we all actually just want to belong. And I hope tonight, as we hear from God in His Word, in fact, our church has been going through Numbers. This is a book of the Bible. It is a book of the Bible, sorry. You will see that for you to truly belong is to be with the Holy God and not die. Okay, I'll say it again because it sounds weird, but to truly belong is to be with the Holy God and not die. And I think we understand this, okay? Have you ever met a person that you're so enamored by them that you're just in awe of them? And you're like, wow, this guy is so amazing, I wish I can be like him. I remember that I was in Belfast. Okay, Belfast is in Ireland. I went there for a medical interview. Okay, yes, in the past I tried to be a doctor. And I remember sitting in the waiting room, waiting to be interviewed. And there was this other guy, he was also Malaysian. He sat beside me. And he was amazing. Although we were both competing for the same spot, right, to get into Belfast for medical school, he was so intelligent, but at the same time humble. He was friendly, smart, but also really charming. And he wasn't the kind of guy that was zero-sum, you know. He didn't think, oh, you're my competitor, I'm not going to talk to you. He made me comfortable even before my interview, and he was just ready. Now, imagine he was your roommate. And imagine that you are nothing like him. You're a mess, you're a slob, you're lazy, you wake up late. If this perfect guy really cared for you, would he accept you for who you are? I think we know the answer. If he really cared for you, for me, and he's indeed perfect, he would care. He would push us to become like him. In other words, he would change you. Now, God is like that otherworldly person that you meet once in your life. In fact, God is otherworldly. He is, in other words, holy. There's no one in this world like him, the creator of the world, yet kind and gracious to human beings, even those of you who continue to ignore him. And so for God to room with us, careful arrangements must be made. And that's what you'll see tonight as we go through Numbers that our church has been going through every Sunday. We see the arrangements that a holy God has to make to be with his people. And it starts with 1 verse 1. Look at that. The Lord spoke to Moses. Now there's more. If you look at the next slide, this continues on and on throughout the book. There's more, but I don't include all just to show you that it's prevalent enough to see that God, although the people of Israel were his covenant people, he never spoke to them directly. He always spoke to Moses, and Moses communicated his words to them because it is always through a mediator, a middleman for God to relate to even his own people. You see there that the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Later, Moses would also induct Aaron to be a high priest. Okay, so you see that this mediator or this middleman is a middleman. It's more than just one person. Although Moses will outrank Aaron lah in terms of closeness to God. So you never see God speaking directly to people. It is always through a mediator, a middleman. And I think immediately we get the point that for God to be with his people, for anyone to be with God, there needs to be a middle man. This is especially striking because given at this point, God has blessed Israel tremendously. I mean, if you just look at the numbers, 600,000 approximately fighting men. Scholars will estimate if that is the number of fighting men, we're talking about 2 million total population, including women and children. Now, in the ancient world, if you met an army like this, you will poop your pants. Okay, this is just an amazing sight. In fact, it is a picture of heaven, a multitude of people being with God. It should take our breath away. It's the fulfillment of the promises that God made to Abraham. But even though the people do in fact belong to God, they can't just, you know, go up to him and just high-five him. He doesn't speak to them directly. He only speaks to Moses. Now that tells you that even though God is with his people, even though they belong to him, there's something still missing. You know, it's like the time when your mom and dad don't want to talk to each other, so you become the middleman. It happened to you before? They went through some kind of fight, okay? They're still together, they're still in the house, but, you know, they're still angry lah. So mom will say, go tell your father I packed his lunch for him on the table. So you go along, mom said she packed your lunch for you. You know. Then your dad say, okay, I don't know what he'll say lah, okay? But he will say something bad and then you have to communicate, right? You are the middle man. It shows you that although they're still together, the relationship is strained. Now, often our parents do that out of pettiness. God is not like that. When he has a mediator, it is professional. He is rightly angry with Israel, and that's why the middleman Moses is needed. This is the picture that God is saying to Israel. You are my people. I am with you, but never without a mediator. Because this nation of Israel, despite being blessed by God, they constantly show that they are at threat of his judgment because they are nothing like him, even though they were made to be like him. I mean, this is something that we need to wrestle with tonight. We all, hopefully, came here wanting to know, where do I belong? You will find that answer when you look at God and Israel. Because how is it that although Israel belongs to God and he desires to bless them, that they are still at threat under his judgment? I mean, just look at these passages from Numbers. Notice how God wants to bless his people. Look at Numbers 6, sentence 24 to 26, that repeat, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. He wants to bless his people. He wants to be pleased with them. He wants to shine his face upon them. But at the same time, Moses has to be that middleman. He does not say it directly to his people, but the Lord spoke to Moses, and Moses is to say it to Aaron. Can you see the gap? God, Moses, Aaron, Israel. Now, these words, bless, is not, you know, like, you know, when you sneeze, I'm not sure you guys still do it, when you sneeze, someone will say, bless you. That's the most useless thing ever. I don't know how does it solve my sneezing. But this is not like that, okay? When this is the Creator approving of you, knowing your thoughts and your heart, and still being pleased with you. And again, it only comes through Moses and Aaron, and in fact, the Levites. Because we all know, right, if God looked down at us, if he looked down at our hearts, he's not going to be happy. We're not holy like him. Now, at the same time, although God wants his people to belong to him, he wants to bless them, which is to give them his holy pleasure. Chapter 1, verse 51 still stands. The Levites must still guard his tent. They must still camp around. And they must still put to death any outsider who comes near. Now, I want you to pause there. You see that word, outsider? It's not referring to non-Jews, you know. It's referring to the other tribes. In other words, Israel, God's own people. Anyone except Levites. God calls his own people that he wants to bless outsiders. And he threatens them with death if they simply approach his tent. So what is going on here? How is it that a holy God wants to bless his people? He wants to be pleased to dwell with them. But at the same time, if they approach him, he threatens them with death. And it's not an empty threat, huh? How is it that Israel can both belong to God and still be outsiders to him? You know, God is really serious about this because the Levites are specifically assigned for this job. Even in a situation where every man is counted for war, every man who's able to fight, we see an entire tribe called the Levites exempted for this task of killing their own people if they approach God. In fact, not only do the people need a mediator, Moses needed for a mediator between God and his people, Aaron, the high priest, and his sons who will inherit his role are needed to be an additional layer between God and his people. This is like, let's say, you know, you think about mom and dad when they're fighting. It's worrying if, you know, you become the middleman. But if Jie is also a middleman, that's a problem, right? If mom tell you to tell Jie to tell the father, there's a bigger gap now, right? Because Aaron and his sons are the high priests. And in fact, their job is to oversee the Levites. So if you look at this diagram, diagram sounds so nerdy. I hope you don't get thrown off by that. But it's just a picture, okay? It's just a picture, simple picture to help you see that from God to the Jews, his own people, there's a gap. There's Moses first, Aaron and his priests, and then the Levites that Aaron and his priests are to oversee. So looking at Numbers 3, you see that the Levites are given to Aaron and his sons, whereas Aaron and his sons are to guard their priesthood. Only they are the priests. And the Levites are to serve them in keeping out any outsider. Now, if you look at verse 10, you see that word outsider again. That's not talking about the rest of the tribe anymore. That's talking about the Levites. Okay. Now, you can ask your friend about this, but north, south, east, west, in terms of the coordinates and where people camp around the tent, there's significance to it. East is the entrance of God's tent of meeting. And that belongs only to Aaron and his sons and Moses. Okay? Even the other Levites who camp on the south, west, or north, they're not allowed to go there. They are outsiders. So we see God is otherworldly. He is holy. And we human beings have fallen short, so far short of his glory that for him to be near us, all these layers are required, and none of them are safe from the threat of death. So again, I ask you tonight, as we think about belonging, as we look at Numbers, this picture of a people belonging to God, you got to think, why is it that although God wants to bless them with his pleasure, all these layers are needed? You know, it's like that girlfriend or boyfriend who just doesn't make sense. They say they love you, but they keep their distance from you. Right? It's like, dude, if you love me, you'll be right here, right now. Okay, why is there a gap? Why do you have to get through so many people to be with you? But God amazingly loves his people, Israel, by being there, but never without this gap. Now, you might be wondering, where are we? Okay, Chinese and Indians and more. Basically, non-Jews. Where are we in this diagram? Okay, what do you think? In reality, we are not even in the camp. Okay, if you look at this next picture, we are... That's you, okay? Really. In fact, if we approach this camp without any permission, what will you see? Think about it, imagine it with me. If you approach the camp, what will you see? You'll see 600,000 fighting Jews. Okay? And they're fighting against you. And then if you manage to get through them, you will see 22,000 plus or something like that, Levites. After you get through them, it's Aaron and his priests and Moses. Okay, assuming you can get through the 600,000 fighting Jews. We cannot come close to God on our own without dying. Simple fact. At every level, they will kill you if you simply approach God. Now, you might ask, wait, okay, I thought God loves us, you know, isn't he for us? Well, maybe tonight, that's something you need to change your mind on. Maybe you have been assuming things about God which are not true, that he is approachable, that he validates all your decisions in your life, that he accepts you for who you are. But that cannot be further from the truth. God is angry with the way we live our lives. He made us for him, but we do not. We do not live that way. In fact, we think we are our own kings, and we use each other in the process, and we ruin his good world. You know, that's why this world is so beautiful, but at the same time so frustrating. Nature is beautiful, but natural disasters can kill us. We all want love, but we don't give that same love. We all hate being double parked. We will horn the guy to death. But we also double park. And we do all these terrible things to each other because we have rejected our Creator. And now we are our own kings and we do whatever the heck we want. So this long train of mediation, this long train of middlemen between you and God is a picture of how much God is not pleased with any of us. You know, if he feels this way about his Jews, again I say he calls them outsiders. What more you, who is not even in the camp? Tonight, on the topic of belonging, let's wrestle with this fact, right? We need to belong to God. He made us. We came from him. We were made for him, but we can't possibly belong to him on our own. So how can we go back to him? How can we go from you all the way back to God? Well, the answer is it's definitely not going to come from us. I mean, the Jews are no better, you know. And you know, they're constantly at the threat of death, even though God was with them. And we are no better because it takes nothing less than total devotion to be with this holy God. Hey, let me help you see this from Numbers. Firstly, no one except the Levites can touch his tent. Okay, look at that, Genesis 51. The Levites shall take it down. The Levites shall set it up. He's saying, if your name is not Levite, don't touch my tent. Not Judah, not Reuben, not any other one of his other people. The Levites, only the Levites can touch his tent. If you're not a Levite, he's going to execute you. This is not talking about trying to be helpful or anything like that. This is his holiness. You don't play. Now, even among the Levites, there are gradations, different level of access in terms of who can touch what. Look at Gershon. Okay, Gershon is one of the tribes of Levites. I believe he camps on the west side behind the tent. Okay, look at what he's in charge of. Essentially, he's in charge of the tent, okay? Just the outer tent. And look at Merari. Merari is on the north side. And Merari is in charge of what I would like to think the accessories, you know, the nuts and the bolts. The things that hold the tent together, the frames, the nuts and bolts. And of course, you have the Kohathites, right? The most privileged of all the Levites. They get to handle God's most holy things. They directly carry them by hand. Well, I say by hand, but they cannot touch it. Okay, in fact, they touch it, they will die. And these things, they can't even look at it. So sorry, if you look at next slide. They can't even look at these things. Okay, so firstly, they can't even touch it, lest they die. Secondly, they can't even look at them, even for a moment, lest they die. These things have to be covered, and only by Aaron and his sons. Now, again, I think this is something that we understand, right? Okay, sorry guys, but have you ever been caught by a girlfriend for looking at another girl? Okay, sorry, I had to do it, but it's an important point. Right, and how long is acceptable? Let's say you only look at her for 1 second. Can I think we all know the answer, right? Not even for a moment. Okay? Because, your girlfriend's right. You're with her. Why the heck are you looking at other people? Now, God expects devotion from his people. Okay, it's not exactly the same here, but it's the same spirit. It's about respecting his majesty. And in fact, it's the other way right here. No one can look at God and live. You know, even Moses, if Moses looked at God, he would die. Even Moses. In fact, once Moses really wanted to see God, God said, okay, I'll show you my backside. Really, he showed him just his back. And even then, he had to hide him in a rock, behind a rock. Now, I'm explaining all this to you tonight so that you can feel the gap between you and God, where even amongst the Levites, there is a gradation. Now, if you and I, if you were in the camp, in this camp of God, how will you do your duties, okay? I think it's helpful just to imagine this. Think of Merari. You know, I really love their description because look at their job description. It involves the accessories. You know, all those little things that we think that they are not important but actually make all the difference. Can you imagine if you were a Merari and you were in charge of all the accessories? Imagine if you were careless and you're missing a peg. You know, peg, they need to nail it to keep the tent open, right? Will you care? Or you think, no lah, just one peg only ma. It's okay lah, can still stand, right? And imagine if you are one of Aaron's son and you were in charge of overseeing the trial of Merari. Will you be like, okay lah, close one eye lah, can lah? Or will you freak out? Because this is God's tent. Right? If you really care for God, you're totally devoted to Him, you'll be like, dude, how can you miss a single peg? Like, what do you mean you don't know? Are you an idiot? God is coming. Can you faster set up? If the tent jato, and if the guy don't care, he'll be like, aya, Malaysia boleh lah, you know, the tent. Bro, if the tent jato, we were all jato, okay? We were all jato, mati, dead. If you care about the pegs, you take care of every accessory. You will find out a way. You will invent barcode, okay? To freaking scan every single peg. Because it is God's peg. You will count every single one. Now, what about the Kohathites? You know, their job, even scarier, were to carry the most holy things. Now, I want you to notice something, a pattern here. The closer you get to God, the higher the threat of death is. You know, the closer you get to God, the closer you are at risk of death. That's when you know that you're dealing with holiness, a God that is not like us. You know, Christianity is not religion. Religion accepts you for who you are. In fact, it's just a reflection of your own thoughts, what you want. God is not like us. He's better. So if you were a Kohathite and you're tasked to carry God's things, how would you carry them? You know, even if you're sweating, you wouldn't wipe your face, right? You keep carrying the thing because you need both hands. You don't want to drop, you know. You don't want to drop. And in fact, let's say it's time to move, okay? And it's time for Aaron and his sons to pack. You know, they're on the east side, you're on the south side. How will you receive the items? Will you just look at him? No, right? That's so stupid, right? If you look at him, maybe he didn't cover properly, you'll die. You'll turn your back. You'll be like, hey, bro, you cover properly or not, Aaron? Hey, Aaron, make sure you cover, seriously, Hey, don't joke around, Don't joke, bro. You better cover the thing, you know. You'll make sure it's covered because you don't want to die, because you don't want to be an irreverent fool that disregards God. I mean, if the Prime Minister were to walk into the room right now, we will all straighten up. We will all be careful. But let's be honest, guys. Let's be honest, guys. This is get it. Are you anything like that with God? When you talk to Him, do you treat Him with this respect for His holiness? Or is He more like a genie that gives you your wish? God is not going to take that. Christianity is not a religion that gives us what we want. Christianity is about this holy God and how He cannot dwell with sinners like you and I unless it is according to His way. Now, hopefully, as we go through the details of God's word, you can see that you and I really cannot be the type of people that live with God. We just don't care about Him. In fact, some of us care more about other human beings than God. Right? If we have that girl that we really like and she's coming over, my room will be tidy, man. Okay? All the dirty laundry, suddenly I do laundry, bro. Okay? Suddenly I take a shower. You know? Suddenly I smell good. Because I really want to be with this girl. Now, you know how to do that with each other. What about the one who made you for Himself? We rightfully do not belong to God's camp because to be with His people is to really delight in Him so much that your entire life is about being with Him. That you would carry every single peg, every single accessory. That even as you carry the holy things, your heart will be beating in your chest with fear but also joy that you get to carry His things. Now, it is an impossible task for any of us to get our rooms ready for God to come. He is too holy and we are too small. Just think about this picture again. We have fallen so short of His glory in our sin. Now, as meticulous and intricate as this whole system that was set up, it could never be a permanent way for God to be with His people because His people kept breaking His rules again and again. In fact, if you just keep the image up there, in one horrific moment, the Kohathites, Levites, privileged to be at the south position, they stormed the east side and tried to take over the priesthood for themselves. And God killed thousands of them in His wrath. Israel failed to be God's people, and we non-Jews sure are not His people. We know this in our conscience. But the good news tonight for all of you is this. God desires to dwell with His people. And He's committed to making it happen. Look at Numbers 4. Those two words are the sweetest words that could be for any of us. Let not. Let not the Kohathites be destroyed. This shows you that God is pro-life. At the end of the day, He wants a people for Himself. Alright, good evening everyone. Hi, welcome to Get It. As you guys settle down, hi, my name is Andy. And I'm really excited to be able to speak to you tonight. Now, I want to start us off with this question. When was the last time you walked into a room and felt like you didn't belong? Right, it feels uncomfortable, right? Not belonging. This is quite a personal question for me because I moved around a lot in my life when I was young. And I've always needed to find a way to fit in, okay? For example, when I was 8 years old, so I was born in Bandar Utama. I'm always jealous of you guys who can say, you can just give a one-word answer for where are you from, right? You've met some new friends today, you might ask, hey, where are you from? You can just say Johor or Subang, right? But I can never say that, you know. I need to say paragraphs because, as you'll soon see, I consider many places my home and therefore I'm slightly confused. For example, I was born in Bandar Utama, but when I was 8 years old, my family moved to the U.S., and we were there for 3 years. And I came back when I was 12, partly to take my UPSR, okay? And then after that, I went to Penang for secondary school, and then when I was 18, I went to Newcastle in U.K. for my degree. So most of my life, I had to work to fit in. I still remember that first day in uni. I believe a lot of you are in uni. You know, first day, you're thinking about belonging, right? You think about, hey, maybe I'll hang out with this guy. Okay, that guy's kind of sus. Okay, I'm not going to hang out with him, right? You're making your selections. And I remember my first time walking into my dorm, I was immediately hit with the smell of alcohol because it's UK. Okay, they drink a lot. There's something called alcohol blanket, which is basically the guys would drink all night and they walk out in the cold without a shirt. And they don't feel cold because their body is full with alcohol. Okay, so I remember the first time I was going to my dorm, the lift opened and immediately there were just chairs of guys drinking. And they're like, hey, why don't you join? You know, are you the new guy? And immediately I felt shy because firstly, I can't drink. Secondly, I'm Asian lah, okay? I was thinking, oh my goodness, is the next 3 years of my life going to be with these alcoholics? So I had to fit in. But when I came back to US, it was especially tough fitting into Malaysia because I look Malaysian, but I cannot speak Mandarin and I cannot speak BM. I really struggled. In fact, like I said, I had to take UPSR, right? And that time, the government was flipping back and forth whether you do math or science in Bahasa Melayu or English. So I remember praying very hard, please be English. Because if it's not English, I'll confirm fail. But anyway, the first few days were really hard. But somehow, I don't know how my parents did it, they managed to get me a personal translator. Yeah, he's a fellow classmate, you know. So the teacher would tell him to sit beside me, and every time the teacher gives instructions, he would translate for me. Okay, his name is Amiru. I remember to this day. Right, Amiru is the GOAT. Yeah. So, yeah, he really saved my life, okay? But anyway, what happened was, back then in Kebangsaan school, you have this thing called a list. Okay? It's basically, I'm not sure if you all believe it, but it's a list where they will put the rank of every single student. Your academic results. Scary, right? Like, imagine a class of 80 people. You will know who's number 79 or 80. We all know the names. Okay. Now, I remember the first day my results came back, I got somewhere in the middle, about 40. And then my dad saying, hey, why you get 40? Average, huh? But, okay, so if you tend to get bad grades, you get good at, you know, talking about perspective, right? You know, getting good, see the other side. So, I thought about this. I'm pretty proud of it, so I'll just share it. Anyway, it's kind of true. So, I told my dad, yes, I got 40, but although I'm last among the Chinese, I'm first among the Malays. Okay? And I wasn't just being racist, it was true. In my school, I was really first among the Malays lah. You know, and even after that, Amir was like, saya tak nak tolong kamu. You know? Kamu bukan kawan saya, you know? So it was tough. But anyway, once I managed to feel like I was getting a hold of myself, I felt like I was belonging, I thought maybe I can aim for top three. Right? Top three, I still remember, it was a guy called Nicholas, two Chinese guys, one Indian guy. And they would always play certain games, they were a gang. So I thought, oh, easy lah, you know, I just get close to the gang and then I can get, you know, part of the top three. So long story short, I managed to join them. And at the end of 6 months, because it was time to move to Penang, on my last day, they gave me a note, a goodbye note lah. And it was really sweet. I mean, they wrote, each wrote a message for me. But I remember in the car, on my way back, when I examined the note, I saw the words at the back. I'm not sure how I missed it at the start, but it said, "We never liked you." And there were some swear words. But they crossed it out. But juvenile, I can still read it. Okay, so that hurts. Right? Not belonging is uncomfortable. In fact, it sucks. So I think tonight we all want to belong. Right? But as we try to belong, are we ever really home? Now, I know those of you who are here visiting today, I know you have a different opinion of God than me and your Christian friend that brought you here, right? But I believe what we have in common is we all actually just want to belong. And I hope tonight, as we hear from God in His Word, in fact, our church has been going through Numbers. This is a book of the Bible. It is a book of the Bible, sorry. You will see that for you to truly belong is to be with the Holy God and not die. Okay, I'll say it again because it sounds weird, but to truly belong is to be with the Holy God and not die. And I think we understand this, okay? Have you ever met a person that you're so enamored by them that you're just in awe of them? And you're like, wow, this guy is so amazing. I wish I can be like him. I remember that I was in Belfast. Okay, Belfast is in Ireland. I went there for a medical interview. Okay, yes, in the past I tried to be a doctor. And I remember sitting in the waiting room, waiting to be interviewed. And there was this other guy, he was also Malaysian. He sat beside me. And he was amazing. Although we were both competing for the same spot, right, to get into Belfast for medical school. He was so intelligent, but at the same time, humble. He was friendly, smart, but also really charming. And he wasn't the kind of guy that was zero-sum, you know. He didn't think, oh, you're my competitor, I'm not going to talk to you. He made me comfortable even before my interview, and he was just ready. Now, imagine he was your roommate. And imagine that you are nothing like him. You're a mess, you're a slob, you're lazy, you wake up late. If this perfect guy really cared for you, would he accept you for who you are? I think we know the answer. If he really cared for you, for me, and he's indeed perfect, he would care, he would push us to become like him. In other words, he would change you. Now, God is like that otherworldly person that you meet once in your life. In fact, God is otherworldly. He is, in other words, holy. There's no one in this world like Him, the creator of the world, yet kind and gracious to human beings, even those of you who continue to ignore Him. And so for God to room with us, careful arrangements must be made. And that's what you'll see tonight as we go through Numbers that our church has been going through every Sunday. We see the arrangements that a holy God has to make to be with His people. And it starts with 1 verse 1. Look at that. The Lord spoke to Moses. Now there's more. If you look at the next slide, this continues on and on throughout the book. There's more, but I don't include all, just to show you that it's prevalent enough to see that God, although the people of Israel were His covenant people, He never spoke to them directly. He always spoke to Moses, and Moses communicated His words to them because it is always through a mediator, a middleman for God to relate to even His own people.